Hey, good evening. Thanks for joining Mitzvah of the Week again. There are so many different mitzvahs to choose from. Achrim Kedoshim are jam-packed with important mitzvahs, but it felt like if we're picking a mitzvah of the week throughout the year, then there's a certain one that obviously we can't go without discussing. And I'll begin by sharing an insight of the Magid of Dubno, that there are many mitzvos, I say, that we might train from a young age. And even if, we're balei tshuva, or if we didn't come with that same background, there are mitzvos that are relatively easy to form habits from. So whether it's things related to tefillin, kashrus, Shabbos, so some of those things sort of become habits. And yet, when we think about the mitzvah, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, so that is also a positive commandment that we're supposed to do. It should be same thing like Shabbos, like tefillin, like sukkah. That's we're trained to do, that it should be easy. But the problem with v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is that, if anything, we're trained to bicker from a young age, and we argue and we fight and we might even hit others. We beat other people up. So that's the challenge of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. With many other mitzvahs, it's relatively easy to form a habit around them. Maybe some of us were trained from a young age to follow them, but v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is much more challenging. There's the famous saying of Rabbi Sarah Salanter that it's much easier to learn Shas than to change even one midah. And v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha seems to be the foundation of that. Just one more maaseh that I'll share, and then we'll get into the topic, is that it's told that the Vilna Gaon, when he was a child, once went out to play with some of the kids. He goes out and he sees that they're on the swings. And he decides that he can't participate. So he goes inside and his father says to him, "Why aren't you playing with the other kids?" So he says, how can I play on a swing when the Torah says, "V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha"? And by going on a swing, by definition, I'm elevating myself over other people. So that's not kamocha. That means that I prize myself over others. So there's a lot we can learn here about from the way we treat others, the Torah's value of that. So let's see a little bit about the mitzvah. So the Torah tells us, it's interestingly not its own pasuk, do not take vengeance or bear grudge against your countrymen. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Hashem. So we'll actually see that there might be some approaches that see that the whole pasuk is actually connected. But you have to l'recha kamocha, shall love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Just kind of snuck in there. So this following idea is quoted in different places in the Talmudic literature, Midrashic literature, but it's brought in the Talmud Yerushalmi and Masechet Nedarim. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Rabbi Akiva Omer Zehu Klal Gadol BaTorah. This is the great principle of Torah. This idea is again found in other sources from that time period as well, but also quoted by Rashi on this pasuk. So is that called God of the Torah? Why is it called God of the Torah? So the Pnei Moshe, one of the main mefarshim on the Talmud Yerushalmi, explains, Mikra shel v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha ikar gadol hu l'kiyum haTorah. It is a great principle in fulfilling the Torah. Shemitoch zeh, if I take seriously the idea of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, yizaher b'masa o matano imabrios. So they'll be very careful in the way they conduct themselves in their affairs with other people. And I won't be jealous of other people. I won't try to upstage other people. I'll try to honor people. So you can fulfill most mitzvot, and I will likewise abstain from doing many averos if I just have this basic principle in mind. I know that I'm supposed to treat others as myself, then most other things that I'm not supposed to do, and even some of the things I'm supposed to do, I'll do, because I'll be mindful. A lot of the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro things, a lot of the mitzvahs Bein Adam L'Chaveiro are basically about this point. Interestingly, something gets talked about less often is what Ben Azai says the main principle of Torah is. Ben Azai said, Ze Sefer Tolos Adam, Ze Kago Gadol Mizeh. So there's a pasuk in Rashi's that says that this is the story of Adam, and that is even a greater principle of Torah. Why is that? So Pnei Moshe also explains, Yishum Sefer Dekrad Naka Dechtib Mus Elkim Asa Oso. The rest of the pasuk, Ze Sefer Tolos Adam, continues, Bidmu Elkim Asa Oto, that Hashem created Adam Harishon in his image. Then I'll be very careful to honor other people. If you're going to treat others badly, so you should know who you are disgracing. That human being was created in Hashem's image. Is teaching us to be nice to other people, right? But this is telling us two things. Number one, so if I treat others who are created in God's image, so then I will be careful in fulfilling Hashem's mitzvot. So, in other words, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is more of a ben adam l'chaveiro kind of phrase. Teaches us not only about the way we treat human beings, but it's also instructive for the ben adam l'makom. So, but as he says, this is even greater principle of Torah, but nonetheless, we tend to focus on the idea of Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, ze klal gadol b'Torah. Okay. So, what's this mitzvah about? Is it about my feelings? Is it about actions? Who is it performed to? What context does it apply? So a lot of things that we can explore in this capacity. I think before we go on to anything else, before we understand how different Rishonim and Mefarshim understand this mitzvah, so it's worth understanding a little bit how it appears in Talmudic literature and the Gemara in particular. And it's interesting that it actually comes up in a couple of different ways. When you look at the Torah Tamima, so it quotes Rabbi Akiva's statement in the Klal Gadol b'Torah, but there are two other categories of ways that this seems to be primarily applied toward. So the first and the third statements, one from Ketubot and one from Sanhedrin, talks about V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha applying to the way we execute people. So that killing by sword is a cleaner, more humane way of executing somebody, number one. Number two, if you're going to stone somebody, so it says, so what's the point of all this? So it's a more respectable way to kill somebody first by hanging them before stoning them. So that's ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, which is obviously very interesting that you would think that ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is okay, I'm nice to other people, but the fact that it applies in execution, usually if you're executing somebody that did something wrong, nonetheless, ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha still applies. The other interesting way that this comes up in the Gemara has to do with the marital relationship. That number one, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that a person is not allowed to betroth the woman until he's seen her, which today would be sort of a given for us. But in those times, you know, not necessarily if a marriage was to be arranged in some capacity, or maybe, you know, you hear about something, but it's not easy to access it, you might just say, okay, fine, no, sounds like a good shidduch, I'll go with it. And nonetheless, person's not allowed to betroth somebody until he sees her, because if he decides that, you know, he's not attracted to her, he's going to violate the ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Okay, and likewise, Rav Chisda says that it's forbidden to have marital relations during the daytime when it's light outside, because perhaps in the course of the relations, one will see something in the other that doesn't entirely appear attractive, and it will interfere with that relationship, right? Which is again very interesting, the way that this is brought up. But it serves as a very important lesson before we even go into the aspects of Avas Yisrael and the like, that V'hatal Recha Kamocha in the Gemara applies first and foremost to one spouse. Right? In a certain sense, Lavdavka, maybe we could say Lavdavka, one spouse, but sometimes it's much easier to love people on the outside, people that you interact with, in other contexts, people you see in show, people you work with. So it could be relatively easy to be nice to them, to appreciate them or whatever. But when push comes to shove, then a person comes home, and are they equally as nice, if not nicer and not kinder to their own family members? The answer to that question is not always yes. So we learned something very important from this, that first and foremost, our most intimate relationships is where V'ahavta l'recha kamocha starts. It's only once we sort of establish that we can expand and make room to love other people, but not the other way around, right? It shouldn't be that I'm a superhero to the public, but what happens at home is private, and I don't have to be such a superhero in that regard. Yes, that's an important point. Fine. So let's try to understand a little bit more what's going on. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. So the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah and Sefer HaMitzvos seems to indicate that v'ahavta l'recha kamocha is both a matter of loving the person, emotionally as a person, but also applies to respecting certain things about them. So the Rambam writes in Mishneh Torah, mitzvah kol adam lehav is kol echad ve'echad meYisrael kegufa, that I'm supposed to love every Jew like my own self. So I have to praise a person, I should care, be considerate of their money. Okay, so just like we would want to be spoken of, nobody wants to hear that somebody said lashon hara about them, and yeah, we do it all the time, right? Okay, likewise, if we're very careful about our money, which generally speaking, people are careful about their own money, when it comes to somebody else's money, shouldn't be disposable, right? Same thing with kavod. Also, then he says, if somebody glorifies themselves by disgracing their neighbor, in lo chelek leolam haba. Right. So the obvious connection here is that nobody wants to experience shame or disgrace. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it's warranted, but it's very callous and shows a utter lack of respect and love to take honor in that, right? And especially if love is an emotion. So if I'm supposed to love a fellow Jew, so seeing them disgraced is the opposite. Seeing them disgraced and appreciating that is the opposite of loving them, right? You might, again, might be sometimes it's necessary, but not necessarily one that you bring us glee, right? Rambam says similar in Sefer HaMitzvos, that we're supposed to love other Jews, just like we would love ourselves. So my love for myself and for family members also. Right. So the way I love others should be the way I love myself. And that includes again my money, my property, and the like. And that anything I want for myself, I would want for others. Right? If I want success, I should wish success for others, etc. So on the one hand, this manifests in actions, but it seems like for Rambam, there's still an element of feeling here. There's still an element of feeling here. Sefer HaChinuch enumerates as a mitzvah. He just calls it straight mitzvahs avas Yisrael. Right? It's love for Jews. Right, which you could say, maybe has something to do with the way I interact with others, and is it talking about the way I love every Jew, or is it just talking about you know, when I interact with certain people that, you know, I should love the people who are close to me, the people I work with or whatever. But Sefer Chinuch names the fact that this applies to all Jews in the name of the mitzvah. So he says, kol echad miYisrael avas nefesh. I should love the soul of each one, right? That's it's a full-hearted love. Wholehearted love. It's a similar thing as the Rambam. Very similar idea. Okay, it brings the idea that it's called Gadol. And the fact that it's called Gadol means, so the way he explains that, is Sharben mitzvot shebatorah tluyos b'kach. So many mitzvos are dependent on behalf of the Recha Kamocha. Sheha ohev chaveru kenafsho. If you love somebody like yourself, so you know that you wouldn't want to have money stolen from you, and you wouldn't want somebody to commit infidelity with your wife, and you wouldn't want somebody to insult you or to overcharge you and not to trespass. So there's all these different mitzvahs where v'ahavta l'rechecha kamocha comes in. They say here, it's avas nefesh, it's primarily starting with an emotion, but that manifests and so many different mitzvos, as the Pnei Moshe told us. Rambam, the Sefer Chinuch, interestingly, we've often talked about the Shorash HaMitzvah, the reasons for the commandments brought in the Sefer HaChinuch. And very interestingly, here it's very short, right? Sometimes Sefer HaChinuch has a lot to say, but here it's so short, which probably says something about how obvious this is, how very clear it is. Right? There's not a lot of explanation needed, right? And as much as we're sitting here talking about this for a little while, on a certain level, you could really just, you could say and walk home and we would really sort of understand what that means. By the way, so he says the reason for the mitzvah is actually there's something a little bit utilitarian about this, which is interesting, that this is the way we create peace. It's not giving us I'm just thinking a lot right here right now, and it's not giving us a whole ethic about how we're supposed to love other Jews because they're a Jew and their family and the like. It's very kind of practical that this is just how we create peace by loving each other, which is very important, right? Halavai that we should even just get to that level where people would actually be considerate of other people to the point that they wouldn't do things that you wouldn't want done to yourself. In which case, a lot of problems in society would go away. But it's not necessarily the most ambitious expression here. Fine, right? And then we get some of the Dini HaMitzvah, which we saw in the Rambam. So we'll go there. And Sefer Chinuch says that this mitzvah applies in every context. And then he says anybody who transgresses this mitzvah, let's just say that they're not careful with somebody else's money. And certainly if they damage somebody's property or they insulted them or says something. So number one, right, there again, because we have to l'recha kamocha in some ways encapsulates so many different mitzvahs that besides the fact that I violated that mitzvah, I'm also transgressing v'hav to l'recha kamocha. Sorry, so it could really be you could be transgressing two mitzvahs at the same time. Right? If I if I steal from somebody, so not only have I violated the commandment against stealing, but I've also violated the commandment v'ahavta to l'recha kamocha. Fine. So the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch seem to share an approach that there is a practical manifestation of v'ahavta to l'recha kamocha, but it starts with an emotion. This is questioned in a work called Nesiyos HaShalom, otherwise known as the Biur, which was the commentary on the Torah commissioned by Moses Mendelssohn. So it included a translation into German and a little bit of a commentary. My understanding is that, if I remember correctly, that Mendelssohn wrote a commentary on Bereishit and Shemot, and then he outsourced, I think, Vayikra b'Midbar Nefarim, if I'm not mistaken. And Vayikra was given to Rabbi Tzvi or Herz Weizel. So he raises a question. And again, I should say that the Biur is not necessarily over time was not necessarily considered to be the most mainstream of commentaries on the Torah because it has associations with the Haskalah, which is certainly a controversial movement, and there were controversial figures involved with it. As far as Wiesel and Mendelssohn go, they were fairly traditional. And they raised an important question that I think many people would ask, which is, how can the Torah command me how to feel? Right before this, I have, you're not supposed to hate another Jew. So he asked the question, person can't control their emotions. They can't decide how they feel about something. I can't all of a sudden like something that I hate or hate something that I loved. How can Hashem command us something that's not within our hands to do? Right. So when it comes to Sina, for example, the mitzvah of Otistan Dachicha Bilvecha is to ensure that I'm not going to act on my hatred. Right, and same issue with Hatal Recha Kamocha, right? If I really love somebody as myself, not everybody, how can I be told to love people that I don't love? And likewise, there are always Jewish people who are going through a difficult time, right? If every time I knew that somebody was in mourning and I really empathized with them and I shared the same level of grief that they shared, never be able to live like that, right? It's not healthy, it's not warranted, it's obviously beyond normal. So how is this possible? So v'chein kan perusho v'abdolecha shehu kamocha shavalach shenivar gam hu b'tem elokim. So here, it's a mitzvah to see others as, within their tzelem elokim, that they're created in God's image, which sort of goes back to Ben Azai's position in the Yerushalmi and other places. So we've seen that a little bit, but that's how he interprets the pasuk. Interestingly, Mendelssohn, who again is a grand editor of the project, swipes in and says, everything he's saying is nice and beautiful and it's worth thinking about, but that's not what the Torah is telling us. The Torah is in fact telling us that you're not allowed to hate another Jew and you're supposed to love another Jew. Even emotions Hashem can command us to do. At a certain point, I am in control of my emotions. It's a very loaded idea. And truth is, it's not far off. There's something called cognitive behavioral therapy, which encourages people to sort of challenge, beliefs and emotions that they have. I think, again, in a particular moment, it might be difficult to all of a sudden change my emotions. Not necessarily easy to do, but it's also not impossible necessarily to work on that and to think about how I think about things and the like. So it's a very stimulating discussion. So Beer saying that emotions can't be dictated. Mendelssohn thinks that maybe they can be dictated, but the Ramban, putting aside the question of whether emotions in general can be commanded, the Ramban says, "V'tam v'avtal recha kamocha." What's behind this idea of v'avtal recha kamocha? Haflaga. It's an exaggeration. It's an overstatement. It's just not possible. It's just not possible to love somebody else the way you love yourself. It's just not possible. Nobody's ever going to do that. And likewise, we also have a teaching of Rabbi Akiva himself. Rabbi Akiva, the one who says, he also taught that your life comes first. So if you're in a particular situation, okay, the example given, I think this is what this particular citation is referring to. this particular statement of Rabbi Akiva comes in the context of, let's say you have two people who are traveling in the desert and they only have enough water for one person. So do they both drink a little bit, but they're likely both not going to survive? Or let's say I'm the one who's carrying the jug. Do I have the right to drink the water, knowing that my friend who is not going to get any of it is going to die? And in Rabbi Akiva comes and says, Chayecha kodmin. Chayecha kodmin and chayecha vercha. That your life comes first. So if you're the one who's the Baal HaJag, you have the water, so you have a mitzvah to drink it first. So Ramban says, that kind of contradicts V'hatal Recha Kamocha. So V'hatal Recha Kamocha obviously can't mean that you literally love every other person as yourself, because otherwise you wouldn't let your life come first. You would say, well, their life is just as important as mine. So how could I do that? So he says, El mitzvah HaTorah sheyohav chaver b'chol inyan kasher yohav es nafsho b'chol atav. That you should love others like yourself, in the sense that you should want the best for them like you would want for yourself. Okay, so it's not necessarily that it's that the love is on equal footing, but I should have a desire that just like I want success for myself, I should want that for other people. Basically, he goes on to say, sometimes people, you know, I might love other people and be happy that they're wealthy, but maybe I'm jealous of their wisdom. If I truly love somebody as myself, right? If I'm filling with Havdalah Recha Kamocha, then I should want them to have be successful in all these different areas, whether it's in wealth or in wisdom. So it's not that there's going to be human. It's human nature that it's going to come to a point that I still won't necessarily want someone to be quite of equal footing, because you know, again, there's an inner competition. So I might not want somebody to really be equal to me. So therefore, right, this degrading jealousy should not be in my heart. Right, I should want the success of other people. I should want other people to be successful in different areas of their lives. And I shouldn't be jealous. That's V'hatal Recha Kamocha is coming to sort of say that, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm literally going to have, you know, if you take V'hatal Recha Kamocha to extreme, so it becomes untenable. Can't literally love other people the way I love myself, but I should want to see in their success, both intellectually, financially, and alike. Right, I want to remove jealousy, and I want to be happy for the good that they receive. But so we've seen, you know, on the one hand, Rambam and Sefer Chinuch see this as an emotional thing, that I am supposed to truly love somebody the way I love myself. Maybe emotions can be dictated. Maybe it's just practically impossible to love somebody as much as ourselves. And if you go to, in a certain way, to the other extreme, the Havdalah Recha Kamocha isn't actually telling me that to love other people like myself, but it's really the negative, that I can't do something to somebody else that I wouldn't want done to myself, right? And this is manifest both in the Targum Yonasan. The same Targum Yonasan comes actually after the Gemara and Shabbos. So the Gemara and Shabbos tells a famous story that a series of stories, really, of non-Jews wanting to come to convert. And they come to Shammai and Hillel, and they get different reactions from Shammai and Hillel. So Shub Maisa, Shammai, Nanji comes before Shammai and says, Gairani, I'm a Nash until I'm dating called Torah Kulak, Jani, Omen, I'm a Achas, teach me the whole Torah while I'm standing on one foot. And Shammai pushes him out. And in some ways, that's actually quite understandable, right? We're going to see what Hillel says in a second. And it's like, oh, you know, Hillel's, the wise one and the more measured one. But the truth is, I think many of us would be like Shammai in that situation. Like, this guy's absolutely ridiculous. How can you possibly teach somebody? They're probably trying to start up. They're trying to play around a little bit. This can't be serious. So Shammai shoves him out of his office. Then he comes before Hillel, and Hillel converts him. And then Hillel teaches him, "De'alach snei lechavrach la taved, that which is hateful to your friend, don't do. That which is hateful to yourself." So I phrase it like this: "De'alach snei lechavrach la taved, that which is hateful to yourself, do not do to other people." So we call it Torah Kula. This is the entire Torah, which can't be said on 1 foot, right? I could probably stand on 1 foot and say that phrase. Ve'idach perusha hu zil. Ah, but the rest of the Torah is the interpretation of this idea. So now go and learn. Right, so now I have to go learn the details of all this, right? So very clever of Hillel. I think sometimes like we look at this, we like, you know, we say, wow, Hillel, and you know, how was Shammai so crass and whatever, but it's more of a testament to Hillel's wisdom than you know, I think many of us would be Shammai in this situation. But what Hillel is saying is obviously something that we've already seen so far, that many, whether it's what we saw in the Rishalmi, or whether it's what we saw in Rambam and Lechinuch, right? So we've already sort of seen how there's so much in Torah that's really sort of based on this whole idea, especially in the realm of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and as Pnei Moshe argued, even Ben Adam L'Makom, that there's so many mitzvahs in the Torah, right? Least of which is, you know, don't steal, right? Some of those basic things that if you truly appreciated that, you wouldn't want that done to yourself. You wouldn't do it to other people. You wouldn't make excuses and you wouldn't be sly about it. You just would not do it. But obviously what Hillel is doing here is he's adapting the idea of the Hapa Recha Kamocha and saying that it's really the negative, right? It's not necessarily that you have to have an abundant love and that you have to go hug every Jew that you see and the like, but it's just a cognizance that which I wouldn't want done to myself, I shouldn't do to others. Right, that's how the Maharsha seems to understand this Gemara. That he asks this question: so why did he change it from negative to positive? But he actually relates this back to what Rabban said. Reason why that Hillel took it from the positive, put it into the negative, is because otherwise you have the problem of Chayecha Kol. Right? There's a certain sense that, yeah, maybe I wouldn't want something, you know, if I was the one in the desert, so I would want to be the one who has a jug of water, but Chayecha Kol, right? Sometimes what you need to do for yourself takes precedence, which means that you're not going to necessarily love everybody simply yourself. You put on your mask, your oxygen mask, before you put on somebody else's oxygen mask, right? Which demonstrates that you care about yourself a little bit more. But that's sort of the point. So Azriel Cement in the Mitzvah Samelach commentary on Sefer HaMitzvot points out, so he says that that Ramban points his, you know, proves his point in two ways. Number one, Deloi Kabel Aleva Adam Shehovas Chaveru Knafsho. It's impossible for somebody to love others like themselves. And also you have Chayecha Kol Min, right? That's what you have. So how would Rambam respond to that? Rambam says that V'ahavta L'Rayecha Kamocha is sort of this positive idea, and that I, you know, do have to love others as myself. So how would I understand that? So the point that the Rambam would make is that when your life is on the line, so you have a Gzeres HaKasov, that your life comes first. So obviously when it comes to, you know, life or death situation or near life or death situations, obviously your life is going to come first. But that's not a violation of V'ahavta L'Rayecha Kamocha per se. But there's something in the Torah that says, that Chayecha Kol Min, that your life comes first. So those are sort of two distinct situations that the Rambam gives. Right. I guess another sort of related idea, you know, why might I say that V'ahavta L'Rayecha Kamocha has to be phrased in this negative sense, that just don't do to others that you wouldn't want done to yourself. So Rav Amiel, the former chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, says that that if I say V'ahavta L'Rayecha Kamocha, so love your neighbor as yourself, so you know, how much good do you want for yourself? There could be certain discrepancies that maybe, you know, I'm willing to do sort of a bare minimum for myself. But that's going to mean that I'm going to be shortchanging others. but that if I have responsibility for others, I might not go out of my way because, you know, I wouldn't, you know, I might say, well, you know, I don't need other people to go out of their way for myself. That's not what I expect. So I'm not going to do that for other people either. So therefore you need actions to define things, right? And in that sense, you could have like sort of a middle position that that perhaps we could say, even we could say v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha in the positive formulation that you're supposed to love others as yourself, but it's more about the actions than the feelings, right? You need to define those actions, but the feeling itself is not entirely necessary for them. So that's a positive, that's a position that one could take. And the Arayim of Eliezer of Metz, in fact, sort of takes a middle position that really both understandings are relevant. Right, so we have v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, shelo lasos lo v'lo lebor davar hamaser libo. You shouldn't say something that's going to insult or something that's going to hurt somebody. So how do I know what's going, you know, what other people want? I'm not a prophet. So kach ne'emar kamocha perish mimcha. Tamud mimcha tamud davresh ata yodesh masor libcha. You should know what you want and try to emulate that for others. And that's why it says the alach snelech avercha la taved, because you know what you wouldn't want done to yourself. So you learn from that. We also learn, right, that we have to love other people as well, that we have to appreciate them. So the Arayim seems to have sort of both of these ideas here. So what's this love really about? How does it apply? Where does it apply? Right, so we've sort of explored so far whether this is a sort of positive things about actions, is about, you know, how, you know, to, under what circumstances does this apply? So Yitzchak Hutner and Pachad Yitzchak has a very interesting idea that that if you say v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, and I like every Jew because I find something I like about every person, right? I like all people because it's something about every person I like. So on the one hand, it's actually a very noble thing to be able to find the good in everybody. But Rav Hutner says the foundation of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is that you love the person because they're a Jew. And if you only like somebody because of their personality trait, but not because of their Jewishness, so then that's not a fulfillment of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Again, that might be a very, very nice thing. But the love must come from the fact that the person is a Jew, not just out of personal affinity. Which I think has a couple of important implications. Number one, I think it really sort of, on the one hand, it helps us, you know, helps remind us that that there's no excuse necessarily for the fact that you can't say, well, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, but that person, there's nothing lovable about them, so therefore I don't have to love them. So this comes to sort of exclude that point that even if the only redeemable thing about that person is that they're a Jew, so I have to love and appreciate them, I have to respect them in the way that the mitzvahs manifest, but also sort of reminds us that in some ways, for other Rishonim, that we saw that, you know, relationships can be complicated, right? I can have an actual friend who I like, but they make me jealous and the like. So there are actually ways that, you know, even with people that we're close with, that it might be easy to violate v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha because there's the narcissism small difference and there's conflict or whatever. But in the fact that they're a Jew, I must love and appreciate them. Rabbi Yosef Schwartz explains, this I found in a book by Rabbi Daniel Feldman, Rosh Yeshiva YU, called The Right and the Good. So he quotes Rabbi Yosef Schwartz as saying that just as we love ourselves despite shortcomings, so we have to love others despite their shortcomings, right? Which is a very powerful idea that there's a psychological phenomenon called the fundamental error of attribution. Or something, fundamental attribution error, something like that, where it's easier to excuse our own actions. We might say that there's something external that causes us to do something wrong. So if you, for example, if you're driving and you make a mistake when you're driving, you know, you cut somebody off by accident, You know, you're not driving as fast. So we know why, you know, we think we have an excuse for why we do that. But when somebody else does it, it's because they're stupid or they're a moron or whatever it is, right? Something about them. So v'yavta l'reicha kamocha means that just like I can, you know, I can find a limud zchut for myself, I'd find a limud zchut for others as well. But the reverse is true also. That if I want to love other people, I have to love myself. V'yavta l'reicha kamocha, before I come to love others as myself. So in order for that to happen, I have to love myself as well. We have to love ourselves to begin with. Right? Sometimes it's easier to be nice to other people and to, you know, validate their issues and to say, well, it's not really you. And, you know, this is why you're right. But then we can be hard on ourselves, right? Which is something in some ways that could be true about myself. I think it's true about a lot of people. So that could really go either way. So this actually is, you know, interesting because Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev and the Kotzker Rebbe seem to have this idea as well. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev says, "V'yavta l'reicha kamocha, klomar tivdok atzbecha heitiv." You have to check yourself very carefully, and you'll find that you have certain blemishes, and you have issues, and nonetheless you like yourself, you appreciate yourself. So you have to do the same with other people, right? If you can like yourself despite certain blemishes, then you can do that to other people as well. Kotzker Rebbe said something interesting though, which is kind of the opposite, that v'yavta l'reicha kamocha. So you know, is it proper to love oneself? Right. And I think here it probably means we're not talking about having, you know, basic self-confidence and the like, but perhaps placing yourself on a pedestal. But he says actually, that the emphasis is on the other, right? You have to love, you know, you have to sort of decrease the love for yourself and increase the love for others. Again, I don't think this is about you know, a lack of self-confidence and self-degradation and things like that, which can be in some ways mentally dangerous. But I think the point is sort of, you know, it's meant to entrench a self of a sense of selflessness, right? That the more that I'm thinking of the v'yahata l'reyacha more than v'yahata kamocha, right? So then the more I'm going to be willing to do for others, that'll place, you know, that I'm not placing myself first. So there's a balance to be struck. Because, you know, I think the secret to, at the end of the day, the secret to being a good person is just not to blow off the opportunities to do good and not to underestimate what we can do. Because if we know what it feels like to have somebody do something that we appreciate, that, and to have somebody do something good for us, or likewise, if we know the impact that a negative behavior can have on us, so then that can impact our decision to act in certain ways. Right? So sometimes, like, we might not think that something's important. We might not think it matters that we said something that maybe wasn't the nicest thing. They'll get over it. Or maybe I'm thinking of doing something nice, but not such a big deal. And you know, I'm not really feeling like it right now. And not sure if I'm going to do it. But sometimes, like, when we do that, we're having this sort of short-sighted moment that actually going out of your way to do something, even if it, sometimes it almost feels uncomfortable to do a chesed for somebody or to say something nice, to go out of our way to compliment somebody. But when we know how much we appreciate it, we know how long away it goes for us. And sometimes it's like nobody knows, you know, to what extent that something that was good for us, you know, totally made our day or our week or something like that. So we can truly appreciate about, you know, if we're reflective on how that would affect us, either positively or negatively, then we can really make a positive impact on others, right? But without that sensitivity, so we either miss opportunities or we take the wrong opportunities because we do something wrong. So there's a basic level of sensitivity here, just to not sort of blow off the effect of our actions. And that's really, I think, what separates, you know, great people from good people. is that they're intelligent enough to be able to see the impact of their actions, because they know what kind of impact it makes on themselves. I'll just end by, I guess, talking again by Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that "Ve'hafta le'echa kamocha" is a klal gadol b'Torah. So I don't think that's a coincidence that he said that, because right now we're sitting here during the Omer, and there are certain mourning practices that we observe because 12,000 pairs of his students died. One of my rebbeim, Rav Aaron Kahn, points out that it says 12,000 pairs and not just 24,000 students, because it talks about sort of the importance of the relationship. And the reason the Gemara says that they didn't, that these individuals perished, was because Shalom Navu Kavod Zebezet. So it's not that they weren't devoted to Torah, and it's not even that they weren't good people, but maybe there was a sense, V'haftal Recha Kamocha, that, you know, maybe there was competition, there was jealousy, that they didn't want to see, you know, they wanted to one-up other people. I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what it was. But the fact that we're reading this pasuk during Sfiras HaOmer, the fact that Rabbi Akiva said both V'haftal Recha Kamocha, but it was also the students that were affected by the plague, really sort of teaches us the importance of this mitzvah, that if I'm able to find it within myself to love other people, you know, at the very most basic level, to not to do things to other people that we wouldn't want done to ourselves, maybe on a little bit of a higher level to do certain actions that we know that will make others feel good. But certainly if we, you know, have within ourselves to always find the positive in other people, then that is the antithesis of the spirit of Sfiras HaOmer. And then eventually when we get to Matan Torah in a few weeks, so then we're really ready to accept it full-heartedly, ki yishachad b'lev echad, that's when we are ready to receive the Torah and fulfill it properly.